The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Way down yonder, sometime I'm living with the law. Sometime bound for glory, sometime we're gonna see it all. Sometime just get on board, sometime I'm gonna fill my sack. Sometime I told my honey come back, sometime I'm gonna wrap that jack. Sometime no time wasting, sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting, sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime way down yonder, sometime we're gonna drag that saw. Sometime low to carry, sometime don't you hear me haw. Sometime just get on board, sometime I'm gonna build that stack. Sometime until my honey come back, sometime I'm gonna wrap that jack. Sometime no time wasting, sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting, sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting, sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting, sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime try your patience, sometime don't you just sit still. Sometime no more waiting, sometime you gotta climb that hill. Sometime change is making, sometime you gotta pay that bill. Sometime no time wasting, sometime no time wasting, sometime.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. This tune, I love it. Larkin Poe. Two millennial contemporary blues sisters doing a great tune called Sometimes. And, man, they are just incredible. Venom and Faith is the name of this album. Strongly recommend Larkin Poe as we continue. Best bumper music known to man, 7 years running as of this weekend on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS, where I am very pleased to welcome back to the show, although this time, I think for the first time over the phone, because usually we have him in studio so we can do a little jamming out on the music. But our brother here on the show, Biff Gore, rejoins us on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me back, and congratulations for excellence for 7 years, man.
You know, what's even crazier, and I so appreciate that, is that I've now done AM radio for a decade, and I started college radio 12 years ago. It's just kind of crazy to think about it, the passage of time.
Well, you know what? 12 years, that equals perfection, my brother.
Well, I don't know that I'm – okay, well, sure, maybe I'm pretty close to perfect. But I'm not quite there. I still gotta work towards it, but I so appreciate that. You know, I remember it was the summer of 2014. We weren't even a full year into this program when our good mutual friend Jeff Crump brought you in studio for a special 3-hour Music with Crump with none other than Biff Gore, who was on season 6 of The Voice here in studio. That was quite a time ago.
Yeah, it was great. That was a wonderful time, and 2014 proved to be a pivotal, wonderful year, and I was glad to meet your acquaintance. And so It was a beautiful time. And, you know, we've had this tradition going for the last, 7 years or 6 years. I can't even remember now, but I'm looking forward to being with you again in studio this coming December. If you'll have me, I'll be there.
Biff, you are welcome. In fact, I'm inviting you now. Will you rejoin me for our next New Year's show?
As Bobby Boucher would say, not only will I do it, but I will do it.
Excellent. Well, I got to, since you mentioned it, we have been for, I think it's 5 years now, we've been doing consistently New Year's specials here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. And I just want to give one example. This is the most recent one for 2019 going into 2020, when we had no idea of the kind of year 2020 was going to be. We were uplifted doing the Stevie Wonder classic, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Let's take a listen to that.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. Now I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby, and here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Then that time you went and said goodbye. Now I'm back and not ashamed to cry. Ooh, baby, and here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Here I am, baby, whoa, oh, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Here I am, baby, whoa, oh, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Jimmy, what you got? Come on. Seen a lot of things in this old world. When I touched them, they did nothing, girl. Ooh, baby. Here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Ooh, wee, baby, set your soul on fire. That is why you know you're my one and only desire. Ooh, baby, and here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Here I am, baby. Whoa, oh, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Here I am, baby. Whoa, oh, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
That was Biff Gore in studio on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show this past New Year's edition of the program with yours truly on harmonica. And I have to say, Biff, that you really were the first real professional musician that I ever got to play with way back in 2014 in this very same studio. And I appreciate it so much because we have just we've grown a friendship centered on music and politics and faith. And it continues to this day. And it's always so fun to get to play with you.
Well, it is a pleasure. And I got to tell you, man, one of the things you look forward to, you personally can't see your own growth as a musician. But, man, since 2014 till now, you have grown exponentially as a harpist. And, dude, you're phenomenal, man. You're really, really good. You were good then. You're really, really good now.
I appreciate that so much, especially coming from you, the man who's got such a great voice that they even call you the ambassador of soul.
Yes, well, you know. I'm a throwback to the old, I want to say the old Motown days, man. I just love soul music, and music should ooze from your soul. I don't care what genre of music it is.
Yes.
All music is soulful music, whether it's polka or even classical music, man. If music doesn't make you cry, if music doesn't make you, and I'm going to use a Colorado phrase, if it doesn't make you high, and something's wrong. You're not listening to the right kind of music, and music really doesn't touch your soul.
Amen. That's so true. And I want to ask you this question, which is that I've started getting out there more. Last night I played for the fourth time with the Becker Band, a country rock band in town. It was a fun gig over at Rockabilly's in Arvada. That is just always such a blast. Now I'm really getting to enjoy entertaining crowds and performing, as I know you've done for years. And I'm wondering how this pandemic has been for musicians like yourself, because it has made things very challenging. And only now are we starting to see things open up where people can actually go and enjoy live music, at least at smaller venues.
Well, I'll tell you, man, when it first started out, it was really, really dismal. There was nothing, because nothing was open. Restaurants weren't open. Venues weren't open. But things are, you're right, slowly but surely starting to open up again. I had a buddy a couple of years ago told me, he said, man, if I was president of the United States, he's a musician, he's a really accomplished musician. And he said that if he was president of the United States, what he would do is he would abolish music for 3 years. And I was like, why would you do something so crazy? He said, because people would then appreciate music. Mm. So I ran into him a couple weeks ago, and I said, man, how you feeling about that? He says, I think 3 months of abolishing live music will do. And that's what's happened.
Yes.
And now, I mean, you'll go play places, man, and you'll play just the simplest song, and people, tears will be streaming down people's faces because music affects people. Music touches people. Music ministers to the soul.
I noticed that last night with a few enthusiastic people that just kept coming up and dancing, and we're even talking about that. One woman was saying, you know, music just absolutely speaks to my soul, and it's been so tragic that we have been devoid of live music especially, because it's one thing to listen to a recording. It's another thing to know that it's live and be in person and see it happening in action.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the other piece of that is, not, you know, during the pandemic, I was doing a lot of Zoom concerts and stuff. Not the same. Because just as much as people get energy from the music, people also, you get energy from the people. And when you're not live, it was just really weird. It was a weird situation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, we're talking with Dr. Biff Gore. The Ambassador of Soul was on season 6 of The Voice, got pretty darn far. Musician extraordinaire, pastor at Highline Community Church. I also want to ask you, Biff, especially from the pastoral standpoint, about this cultural moment that we're in society. We have a lot that is going on heavily. What do you make of it all, and how do you think we should be working towards persevering as a people?
Thank you so much for asking me for my perspective on that. I think that what's going on in our society right now is, I would say 10% of it is us being cooped up in the house from COVID. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, I think the rest of this is planned, just the same as this entire COVID thing has. There are aspects of it that have been exploited. Is COVID real? Yes. Is racism real? To a certain extent, yes. And I like to say it like this: when something is dying, when racism is dying out, when there's a burst of energy that happens because people don't want to give up the old way of life, is that the identity of the United States? No. As a matter of fact, if it was, you'd never have me on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I go, I see this glasnost. I see this coming together of people. I see this love for community. And the people who really are the haters, they are such a small segment out there. I'm really sad for all the cultural appropriateness, the wokeness of our society right now, because now you can't even speak the truth in love. You can't criticize people. And I think the people that I feel the worst for are probably comedians, because we live in cancel culture. But I'm encouraged because, one, the Bible never talks about race. It always says that we're divided by we're peoples, we're nations, we're tongues, we're tribes. And one day we're going to stand around heaven. We're going to stand around the throne in heaven, and we're going to worship together. And we should be doing, we are exampling that here. Every time you and I get together, we get a chance to put on display the beauty of God's creation, because you look different from me, I look different from you, and when I see you, I see his handiwork in, on, and with you, and hopefully you see the same thing in me.
Amen, Biff. I think that is so well said, and we need to lean on each other and lean on God during this very difficult time, especially as we are so divided and things are so divisive. But we got to run. Biff Gore, it is such a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for taking the time, and also for continually coming on the show for some wonderful jam sessions. We will do a live stream. You and I were talking about doing a live stream pretty soon, because I got a new project I can't talk about yet, but I'm going to be announcing, and I look forward to that.
Oh, man. Well, Jimmy, I'm so proud of you, man. You are the light and a hope for the next generation, because, you know, people think about millennials, and actually, you know, up until about 4 months ago, the byword in our community was millennial.
Mm-hmm.
People said disparaging things about people in your age group. So we're always, there's always going to be a division based on something that separates us, right? And usually it's a generational thing. Well, you know, I'm proud of you because you are living up to the great American experiment, and you are fearlessly knocking down all the walls of idiocy by espousing and living by the truth, man.
I appreciate that. Biff Gore, we will have you back in studio soon. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. Peace and blessings.
You as well, my friend. Biff Gore joining us once again here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Always enjoy a great conversation, especially a great jam session with Biff Gore. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're overdue. News Talk 710 KNUS. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show.
Jimmy Sangenberger, News Talk 710 KNUS.
The best bumper music known to man for 7 years running. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Little Albert Cummings with his tune, Drink, Party, and Dance. We're having a great celebration here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Thanks for being along for the ride. So great to be with you. You know, in addition to being 7 years on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, I just struck, I was in college at Regis University doing an online radio show, well, mostly online. You could listen to it clear across the quad on the campus of Regis University. 2 hours every Thursday night, you could not avoid the right-wing propaganda on Sang Center. But my predominant listening audience, I'll be frank, was online. Well, then I filled in on September 16th, 2010, for the very first time on the Amy Oliver Show. We talked with Amy Oliver Cook in the last hour, who's now in North Carolina heading up the John Locke Foundation. And I was 20 years old, barely 20, and one of my first two guests was former Congressman for the 7th Congressional District, Bob Beaupre, who I am so pleased to have for a few minutes here on this fun Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Congressman Bob, welcome to the show. It's good to talk with you, sir.
Well, it's great to talk to you, and happy anniversaries. Plural. That's pretty awesome, Jimmy.
I appreciate it. I wanted to have you on just because I'm just struck by, I mean, so grateful Amy Oliver Cook came on earlier, and to be able to be a college student and then go on to AM radio and have that experience and then have someone like yourself, former congressman, join me for that very first show. I mean, those kinds of things really leave a mark and help me to, and Amy was talking about this earlier, to really know the importance of giving back. So I want to thank you, and thanks for coming on tonight.
Well, you're kind, and you frame the role of radio talk show host very well. It's a wonderful venue, and giving back, I don't think I ever phrased it quite that well, but you share yourself, you share your soul, you share your thoughts, you challenge people to think, and isn't what we need a lot of these days? Is people that are good citizens, American citizens, and think through the big issues of the day, because Lord knows we've got a lot of them. And you know, the way you've always been, even going back to those early days, I said this is a man that that certainly leads with principle. He's got his own firm convictions, but he challenges other people to think for themselves as well. And I think that's a noble cause. So congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to ask you if this 8-second clip of you on the very first time I was on AM radio was prescient and on the mark or not. But take a listen to this. This is how we ended our interview.
Thanks for the invitation, Jimmy, and best to you. I think you've got a great future in radio. You're just a natural at it.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so
Take
much
care,
for joining
my friend.
Us. And you too. All right, that was you in 2010, Bob Beaupre.
Well, you made an honest man out of me.
Yeah, I know. 10 years later, I'm still at radio. Who would have thunk it? You did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I meant it then, and I mean it now. You do fit. Claudia sometimes jokes with me and tells me that I've got a face for radio. I think she's joking. Maybe not. you've got a voice for it. You've got a mind for it. You've got a natural instinct for it. And I mean that in the most sincere and flattering way. So continued great success. Look forward to maybe talking with you in your 20th, in your 30th, and who knows how many. And well, I'm sure you're going to have in this career.
I appreciate it. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your busy evening tonight to join us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. And I just have to say, we got 20 seconds here, but listening to that interview, the things that were happening in 2010, very different from 2020. Former Congressman Bob Beaupre, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for coming on tonight.
You bet. Take care, Jimmy.
Thank you. Bob Beaupre joining us. Here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, we're going to take a break. We got a lot more. I'm going to get back to the Supreme Court pick and more. Stay with us.
Jimmy Sangenberger, News Talk 710, KNUS.
Returning now to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, live and having a good time this evening. And you know, whenever I go down memory lane, and folks, I've gone down a rabbit hole uncovering old audio of yours truly going back a decade, even longer. And it is uncanny when you do that. But whenever I go down memory lane, I think of this wonderful Allman Brothers tune from their Where It All Begins album that I think came out in 1994, called Back Where It All Begins. And you know, the reality is that this song is just so perfect for like going back where it all begins. The feel is like one of going down memory lane. And I have to say as well that this is the very first album that I really got into of the Allman Brothers Band, which I will argue with you. Feel free, call in 303-696-1971. The Allman Brothers is the best band of all time. That may be the most controversial thing I've ever said on this program. The Allman Brothers Band is the best band of all time. Well, the first album that I ever really got into when I was, 7, 8 years old and would listen to on the CD player in the car when my mom was listening to, you know, 90s pop music on the radio was Where It All Begins. And I just remember that. And so it always takes me down memory lane. And that's the album that really got me into the Allman Brothers Band. At that time, I think it was the last or maybe second to last album that you not only had Warren Haynes, but you had Warren Haynes and Dickie Betts on at that time. And then Dickie would go on and leave the Allman Brothers Band. And eventually you would have Derek Trucks and Warren Haynes, which was that final lineup for the Allman Brothers Band. Anyway, best bumper music known to man, 7 years running. Here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. So we have, I hear we have a vacancy
on the Supreme Court with the passing of Justice Ginsburg, who passed away yesterday after serving 40 years on the federal bench. And look, the reality is that, of course, ideologically and when it comes to jurisprudential philosophy, that is her view of the Constitution, I talked about this earlier, she missed the mark, but she certainly left a tremendous mark on sort of a legacy in terms of showing that you can get from where she was in the beginning to get to the point on the bench. She was good friends with Justice Antonin Scalia, the late great Justice Scalia, which shows that, yes, you can indeed be friends with people who strongly disagree with you on politics. It can be done. I have done it. You can do it, too, if you haven't in a while. And that's a good, you know, looking back at her in that regard. But when it comes to the philosophy, look, the reality is that we are at a crossroads right now in terms of the Supreme Court. And it is absolutely unquestionably time for President Donald J. Trump to appoint a new justice to the bench. He was indeed elected largely with that as a key component of his campaign, which is why he even released a list of potential justices back in May or so of 2016, during the primary campaign even. In a few minutes, I'll play a clip from 2016 when I endorsed President Trump, then candidate Trump, on June 18th, 2016, here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, where I specifically highlighted the importance of the federal judiciary. But first, let's go to Hugh in Lakewood, who rejoins us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show to talk. I don't know what's on your mind tonight. Hugh, welcome back.
Well, first, you know, I'm late in life to Jimmy Sangenberger, but I wanted to join in the party, and this show has been so wonderful.
Well, thank you.
First question, is Grandpa Walt really your grandfather?
Yes, he is. He's my mother's father.
He sounds so spry.
You know, I think that works for him. He's tremendous. I mean, I just remember always looking up to Grandpa Walt as a kid. He has that. Now they call him dad jokes. To us, they're grandpa jokes. And I always loved that and had a close relationship with him. And so when he turned me on to talk radio and Rush Limbaugh, it was just the natural for me to get hooked on it.
Well, you know, moving on, and I thought I loved listening to Amy Oliver. I forgot her last
name. Amy Oliver Cook, yeah.
Yes, and the French word, forgive me for doing a hue on you, but, you know, the French have certain things that don't translate. She's a grande dame, a great lady.
And that is so true.
All those qualities that came out on the show. I mean, her magnanimity in praising you.
Amen.
And talking about, you know, and of course giving advice, and of course she's amazing herself. And so those were sort of the, and I thought the fellow whom you had on, I didn't get it, was it Brian
Biff Gore? Biff Gore.
Biff Gore.
He is amazing.
What an unusual name. Anyway, and so now I'll just reminisce. Do you remember one of the times I called in, and you were really burning up the wires on the law?
Uh-huh.
You were whatever the subject was, you were fantastic. But I called in and I said, you're great on the law, but your music is horrible.
Yes, you requested a Gregorian chant,
yes.
Right? And we provided it,
yes,
when we came back from break.
It was so great. You went to break. And when you came back on, it was, you know, Magna Mysteria.
I knew you were going there. The minute you said, I'm going to reminisce, I knew you were going to go to the Gregorian chant incident.
Yeah, well, I coupled it. I thought, you know, if you played what I'd like, the ratings would plummet. So it's wonderful. Congratulations to you.
Well, I appreciate that.
And it's always wonderful. I love the coverage. And then on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I'm,
yes,
with,
please,
you. You know, I hate it all for her rulings and that sort of stuff. But the Iron Lady, and something anecdotal. I worked as a part-time job at the Harvard Law School Placement Office. And this, I graduated from law school in 1965. There were 500 people in my class, 25 women. There was no market for women, and I would schedule interviews by the firms that came through. That was what my little job was. Mm-hmm. And the ladies would come, and you'd see them come out of the interview, and a lot of times they'd be in tears because the partner would have said, "We've never had one." And I'm happy to say the world has changed, and it's wonderful. And that was my recollection. Some of my best friends, and of course, at that point in time, if a woman was in law school, no less Harvard Law School, she was phenomenal, and they were always amongst the smartest of our class. Mm. Anyway, so enough of all of that.
Let me just ask you real quick, because we got to go to another call here, Hugh, but your thoughts on why President Trump should move forward with this nomination. Why do you think so?
Well, in a sense, I'm repeating myself, but because George raised it this morning. Mm-hmm. It's already on the ballot. The point that he made, he had a partner from Brownstein on, and who said, well, in fact, it's the truth is that you're voting for either. They're on the ballot are Biden and Trump and now the Supreme Court justice. And so the question was, should we clutter up, et cetera, et cetera, and I'll make it snappy. And I called in and I said, I think the vacancy is already on the ballot. So it makes no sense to hold back. And that's my thought. And, of course, it's going to be, God knows, a battle royale.
Oh, yes. That's for darn sure. Well, Hugh, I appreciate the kind words. And thanks for I love going back down memory lane. I have to tell you, you got to wait a little bit. But I have a clip from, like, really early Jimmy on AM radio that you do not want to miss. Have a great evening, sir.
Was that Albert Cummings?
Yes, Albert Cummings. He's a drink
that was
yeah.
Phenomenal. And, you know, next time we can move on to the Renaissance.
Yeah. There we go. All right, Hugh, thank you for the call. 303-696-1971. John and Parker up next on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, 710-KNUS. Good evening, sir.
Hi, Jimmy. I was listening last night to Joe Biden making comments about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes.
And one of the comments he made was about her making the law. And I thought it was very interesting that he was basically admitting that what the Democrats want is legislating from the bench.
Ah.
And I thought you've probably heard the expression that when a politician makes a gaffe, that he or she is accidentally saying what he really believes. And so I thought it was quite revealing that he was basically admitting what the Democrats want from the,
you know,
they want another legislature from the bench.
That's so on point, John. And I'll say this too, that the Biden campaign is full of these Freudian slips. It's like Kamala Harris saying a Harris administration with Joe Biden as president. That's a Freudian slip right there as well.
Exactly. Kind of like that. Sometimes in the movies they'll talk about who's in the movie, and then they'll say, and featuring a name of another famous actor or actress. It's kind of basically that what she was saying is it's going to be a Harris administration featuring Joe Biden.
Featuring Joe Biden, exactly. Well, John, I know you have been a frequent caller in the past going back years, so I appreciate that. I appreciate your listenership.
Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate you, Jimmy. You do an excellent job of bringing out the facts and presenting different points of view and making. I think you're able to draw in a lot of different segments of the conservative community, and really, I think unifying the conservative community. And I really appreciate how you bring out so many different viewpoints and bring out the facts so that we're well informed.
Thank you, sir. Well, I appreciate that very much as well, John. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye. All right, next, Alec in Littleton, 303-696-1971 here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Good evening, Alec.
Hi. So I think Trump should definitely fill Ginsburg's seat.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because I remember how the left reacted to Brett Kavanaugh, who was one of the most moderate people that could have been nominated for Kennedy's seat. They will treat whoever Trump picks the exact same way.
Yes.
No matter if we do it now or if we wait till after January, it will be the exact same outcome. So it only makes sense to do it now as fast as possible.
Look, Alec, do you think
it'll motivate people to turn
yes.
out?
And to that point, do you think, Alec, that the Democrats would do anything differently, or would they jump at this opportunity right away?
They would jump at this opportunity.
Yes, exactly.
Especially if it was Kamala who was in charge at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the Harris administration featuring Joe Biden. Yes, that's exactly right. Now, I think that's a very important point, Alec. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number if you want to join in to the festivities. We're going to take a quick break here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We'll see which of these clips from vintage Jimmy Sangenberger we go to when we come back. Of course, if you want to chime in, 303-696-1971, our telephone number next hour as well. We will share my interview, unfortunately, before we got word of Justice Ginsburg's passing, but with Ken Starr, who was absolutely fired up about civics and other issues when we talked about Constitution Day. That's coming up in the next hour and so much more. You're listening to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Don't go anywhere. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Jimmy Sangenberger, News Talk 710 KNUS.
This sounds like it should be an Allman Brothers Band tune, but it is the Allman Betts Band. Dwayne Betts doing the singing there. Devin Allman, Barry Oakley Jr., great group. Check them out if you haven't before as we go back and listen to and enjoy some of the memories tonight of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. 7 years running, a decade now of yours truly in AM radio. And I want to go back to June 18th, 2016, when KNUS, frankly, was not a place except for Backbone Radio. And Matt Dunn, who was in the beginning, very beginning, Trump supporter, knew he would win. He was right on that score. I will give him credit there. And look, besides Matt, we were not a land of pro-Trump talk. Well, this is the day that I endorsed President Trump, said I would vote for him in the general election, and here's a reason why. Take a listen.
It's likely, in my view, that Donald Trump will be the nominee. And given the stakes that I'm about to talk about, I will be voting for Donald Trump in November for President of the United States. And I'm going to do so because of many of the concerns that Elizabeth Warren addressed from the opposite perspective, particularly the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I know that this is an issue that has some debate and consternation among conservatives, especially the reliability of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is somebody that is not a conservative by background. He's a populist. But he did put forth a good, solid list of 11 potential Supreme Court justices. And he said it would be somebody on this list or somebody like somebody on that list. Now, obviously, that doesn't give a real ringing vote of confidence for conservatives that want a true conservative justice. But he had the wherewithal to go ahead and present that list when he didn't need to. I think, to try to give some reassurance and say, look, I'm taking this seriously. The stakes of this election are about a lot more than the next 4 years of the president of the United States. Of course, we have to look at the next 4 years and the policies that will be instituted. But Justice Antonin Scalia has passed away. And ladies and gentlemen, he was a stalwart conservative. He was a great warrior for the cause, a true constitutionalist, a true textualist, a hero on the bench. And he's gone now, meaning we've got a 4-4 split in the Supreme Court. Barack Obama has put forward a moderate in Merrick Garland, who's still left to center, particularly on gun control issues and other issues. He is liberal, but he's more moderate than what we might get with Hillary Clinton. And Republicans have been rightly making the argument we should not go ahead and approve Merrick Garland. In fact, he shouldn't even go up for a vote. That should be done next year. But what if we get Hillary Clinton? And not only that, what if we get a Democrat-controlled Senate because the down ticket gets irreparably damaged as a result of a lack of support for the top of the ticket, the Republican nominee? If we lose the presidency and we lose the Senate, all bets are off, because for generations we could see Supreme Court rulings and a jurisprudential philosophy that are entirely out of step with the U.S. Constitution. Let's just look at a couple of weeks ago, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision, ladies and gentlemen, trampling upon our right to bear arms. It will make its way to the Supreme Court. And if it gets to the Supreme Court where we have a 4-4 split in the court, and we don't have a fifth justice on either side, then the lower court ruling will be upheld. If, even worse, we have a 5-4 split on the court with Hillary Clinton's choice as the next Supreme Court justice to replace Antonin Scalia, then what do we see? We see the overt upholding of that Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision and numerous other bad moves that will take place. We think that John Roberts has been a traitor on Obamacare and some other issues. Thank God we have some people like John Roberts on there that are actually willing to hold the ground on a number of different issues, like Citizens United, for an example. But if we lose the Antonin Scalia seat and then two or three more justices after that, then all bets are off. The Constitution will be eroded fundamentally.
That was my argument a month before the Republican National Convention for why I was going to be voting for President Trump in 2016, abandoning any sense of never Trump status. And folks, he has delivered on the judiciary. That's the biggest reason why I voted for him. We need to move forward. President Trump, make that nomination. Cory Gardner, vote for the nominee. We'll be back one more hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Ken Starr next.
News Talk 710, KNUS.